95.7 Ben FM presents Her Story with Kathy Romano.
Good morning and welcome to Her Story. I'm your host, Kathy Romano. My next guest is the executive director of Starfinder, a soccer program that inspires social change in Philadelphia. Starfinder supports 500 to 600 underserved youth annually at its indoor field in Manayunk. The organization actively refutes the idea of Philadelphia's underserved youth need to stay underserved. They believe youth development has the power to transform and soccer is the answer. Please welcome Heidi Warren to the show. Heidi, thanks for coming by.
Thanks so much for having me.
So you're the executive director of the program?
I am, yes.
Now tell me a little bit about this amazing program.
So we engage kids through their passion for soccer. And, you know, soccer is the most played sport in the world. As a result, it's really a common ground for kids across all backgrounds, all cultures. We have youth in our program who come from 26 different countries, who speak 16 different languages at home. It's the same rules for girls and for boys. I mean, it's truly an inclusive sport. And the barrier to entry is very low. You can play it anywhere. You need very little equipment. So it's a sport that's just incredibly accessible to people all around the world and from all walks of life. So we take advantage of that to engage kids from underserved communities and connect them to all kinds of additional support. We are building life skills. We're providing academic support. We're providing college guidance. Mentoring and long-term relationships are a big part of what we do. And we really want to help kids to succeed more fully, just more broadly in their lives and achieve their potential.
So although it's a soccer program, you're touching on a lot of different life skills.
We are. And some of that is through the game itself. Soccer, like many team sports, like all team sports, teaches kids teamwork, communication, perseverance. They're interacting with success and failure. You know, there's so much that happens directly on the field and through the sport. And then we layer on top of that the very positive, very structured community that we build together with the kids. And as I said, that mentoring piece is a really important part of it as well.
When did you become involved with the organization?
Starfinder started in 2002, and I got involved in 2004. So very early days, as it was really just coming together and sort of forming.
Why did you choose this organization?
Well, you know, I have a background in youth development and community-based work. My personal experience is in the realm of arts and culture. So soccer was actually a little bit of a different world for me. I did not grow up playing soccer. But what I saw in the mission of Starfinder really appealed to me. And it was what I had been doing in other places, engaging kids through something that they love to do, and then using that as a springboard to support them more broadly in their lives.
Are all the children that are involved already playing soccer, or are some of them new to the sport?
It's both. And we really want to make sure that we're reaching kids who don't necessarily have access to after-school sports, who might not have safe spaces to play in their communities, who wouldn't necessarily have the kind of programming that Starfinder offers. So some of them are coming to us because they've already been playing soccer. As I said, we have immigrants in our program who come from all over the world. But we also have kids who, you know, have been in Philadelphia all their lives, whose families are originally from Philadelphia, and we get to introduce them to this great sport.
Does it cost the children anything to participate?
No, we make sure that cost is not a barrier. We do have some very low fees that are intended just to build a sense of commitment, but even those we waive if there's any chance that that's going to get in the way. And with our high school participants who come to us on public transit on their own, we're even providing them with tokens and transfer money and, you know, that transportation assistance that makes sure that cost doesn't get in the way.
So who can participate? And I guess if somebody was interested, how do they go about finding out more information, or how do they go about signing up?
Yeah, so everyone who wants to find out about Starfinder should go to our website. So that's starfinderfoundation.org. We have programs that serve kids from age 6 all the way to 18. Our most intensive program is at the high school level, and we start doing recruitment every fall. So September, October is the time to reach out, get involved, come and do an orientation, and sign up for that program. We're also going out to high schools all around the city to recruit kids. And of course, there's a lot of word of mouth. We are about to launch our first middle school league that starts this Saturday, March 9th, and that's for any middle school age kid. There's more details on our website about that. There's a girls division, there's a boys division. We want kids, you know, from all walks of life to participate in that. And then in the summertime, we often do summer camps where we're serving younger kids, and we're starting to expand out those younger age programs. So definitely visit our website, because anything that's being updated in the new programming we're adding, that's where you're going to find those details.
Do they have to apply?
We have a registration process because, of course, we want to know who our kids are and we want the parents to understand what the program is. And we try to make that as easy as possible.
So it's been in existence since 2002. Do you have any idea how many children the organization has helped over the years?
We estimate that we've served over 10,000 kids over the years.
Wow.
And, you know, in some ways that number underrepresents our impact because we work really hard to establish multi-year relationships with our kids. So, for example, our high school program is serving 100 kids a year. That's how much space we have in the program. But most of those kids are coming back year after year after year. So that's when we find that this idea of soccer for social change really takes hold. When we have those long-term relationships, we're really making a difference in the habits that our kids develop, the social capital that they develop, the support system that surrounds them, so that even though they may graduate out of Starfinder in the age group, they still stay connected to the program and to our community.
So when the children are in the program, how much of a time commitment is it?
As I said, the high school program is our most intensive program. That runs from Monday through Friday. It's after school. The program itself is 4:30 to 6:30. Many of our kids are coming right after school, so they're getting additional unstructured time where they're at Starfinder, they're interacting with each other and with the coaches and get additional support. Any given kid in the program has two required days every week. So at a minimum, they're with us 2 days a week, Monday and Wednesday or Tuesday and Thursday. But then we have a lot of additional add-on opportunities. We have a winter league, we have spring league, we have college visits, we have professionalism workshops. For many kids, there's 2, 3, even 4 days a week that they're coming to us. And that's for 7 months, from November to May. It's a very intensive commitment that they're making to the program. That's the high school program. You know, that's where the biggest commitment happens. For our middle school leagues, it's a weekend program. That one's going to be going for 8 weeks. We're going to do a clinic series in the fall. We'll be doing some leagues as well as clinics for middle schoolers in the fall. So that's a little bit lighter engagement. And that's also appropriate to that age group where you're doing a little bit of skill building, but you're still experimenting. You're doing things that keep you engaged after school and sort of building great habits at the high school level. We can really take it to a deeper level.
If there's a child who seems to be going in the wrong direction, they're in the program and you kind of see them straying away either from the program or just getting into something that they shouldn't be getting into, how do you approach that?
Well, that's where having deep relationships really makes a difference. Our coach mentors develop one-on-one relationships with our kids. And as a result, they're able to have a good sense of what is going on with them in school, in their social circle, in their community, if they're struggling with anything. We make a real point of engaging with parents and guardians at the beginning of each year so that they know, what is this program? What are the goals of the program? How we're here to support their kids. And to make sure that if something's coming up, we have a direct line with them so that we are part of a larger support system. We want parents to not pull their kids out of the program if something starts to go south, but rather, you know, let's work together and make sure. And we'll even reach out to the schools, teachers. We'll put together an academic plan if they need it, if their grades are starting to slide. Because we develop these deep and long-term relationships with our kids, we're also establishing trust with them. And that allows us to really talk through with our kids, what's the plan? What should we do differently? How can we help you stay on track? What are the steps we can start to take? And then hold them accountable and ask them to hold themselves accountable.
What are the proven benefits of children being involved in athletics?
Oh, there's so many benefits. They're the most obvious on the physical side, just being physically active, all that does for health. And, you know, we want kids not just to be physically active while they're in our program. We want them to develop lifelong habits of being physically active and engaging in sport. And that has all kinds of benefits in terms of literally life expectancy, reduction of disease, and the things that can come up later on in life. There's also a lot of benefit in terms of emotional well-being. You're developing a positive peer group. You're staying away from, you know, very obviously some of the negative things that might be happening in other parts of community and your neighborhood and your school. There's modeling and learning how to have healthy relationships with each other. All of the life skills that are going to help someone succeed in school and in career, giving and receiving feedback, being able to speak in front of a group of people and developing that confidence. and on, you know, perseverance. How do you respond when things get tough? Are you going to give up or are you going to keep fighting? We want you to have that same sense of fighting hard for what you want to do well on the field, as well as when you're doing your algebra homework. You know, you don't give up. You keep plugging away and you ask for support if you need it.
How is the program funded?
We have support from foundations, from corporations, from grants, as well as sponsorships. Individuals support us through direct giving, through events. And then because we own a facility, we have the ability to bring in some earned income from the use of the field when we're not doing our program.
So then do you look for volunteers? Are there ways that people can help?
You know, honestly, the best way people can help is to donate to support us financially. But we do have a variety of things that they can get involved in. We have soccer tournaments. We have something called the Soccer de Mayo tournament coming up the first weekend of May.
That's cute.
Thank you. And another one, Kick or Treat, another nice pun at Halloween time. So that's for any adult soccer players who just love to play and they, you know, would love to come and try out our indoor field. We do have some volunteer opportunities, and there's a lot of information about that on our website.
Who are your coaches?
I appreciate you asking that question. You know, because we form these long-term relationships, we hire our alumni. So kids who have been through the program and graduated and are a few years out, as much as possible, we bring them back in and continue their training and continue their leadership development. And what better role model than someone who has walked in the same shoes that you're walking in, who comes from a similar background, and who can say, I'm in college, I've achieved these things in my life, and you can do this too, and I'm going to help show you the way.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Do you have any association with the union?
We do. We have a great friendship with the union. In fact, we just had a cocktail party and fundraising event last Wednesday, and Sebastian Latou and Zach Pfeffer, who are former union players, came out and they were part of that event.
Sure. I know Sebastian. He's a very nice guy.
He is awesome. They both are. All of the players were just wonderful. We actually had a game in the event on our field during the program. It was so much fun. And they played against our alumni. So it was just bringing what we love right into the middle of the event. But the union has been so generous with donating tickets so our kids can get out to games and swag when we have events. And, you know, we just are excited to keep building that relationship.
Are you on social media as well?
We are. Our Twitter handle is @StarfinderFound. And then we are on Facebook. Just look for Starfinder Foundation. And we're on Instagram as well.
Under Starfinder Foundation.
Starfinder Foundation.
If you could give our listeners one bit of advice before you go, what would you say?
I think recognizing that all kids have talent and aspiration and dreams, and not every kid has the same access to opportunity and support systems. So look for those places where you can be that support to kids, because they all deserve to thrive. They all deserve to reach their full potential. That's what we set out to do.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for coming by, Heidi.
Thank you for having me. Really appreciate it.
If you'd like to find out more information about Starfinder, you can check them out on social media, or like Heidi said, their website is starfinderfoundation.org.
This is Her Story with Kathy Romano on 95.7 Ben FM.
My next guest is a business owner and now author of a self-help motivational memoir. After feeling stuck in her life, Mindy Barnett decided to take a leap of faith and start over. She's here today not only to share her story, but to inspire women to kickstart their lives when facing big life challenges. Mindy, thanks for coming by.
Thanks so much for having me, Kathy. I'm happy to be here.
So for people who are not familiar with you, just explain a little bit about what you do and the business that you started 15 years ago.
Absolutely. So I'm a publicist and also a social media strategist. In a nutshell, we represent business leaders and businesses throughout the country. A lot of our clientele is from the Philadelphia region because that's where we're based. And we basically get them exposure in the media. So we pitch stories to people like yourself, TV, et cetera, for them to cover our client as an expert in whatever their field is, and also offer the cliched news you can use or information for viewers, listeners, or readers out there.
And you said a social media strategist?
Yes. So we had to embrace the world of Instagram, Facebook, Twitter.
Of course.
About 5 years ago, it was inevitable. And a lot of our clients were asking for some support in that area because it's important in terms of marketing. So we also do social media strategy, where we come up with comprehensive social media campaigns, work on audience building, engagement, and you name it, to increase their presence and expand their reach in the social media realm.
And what is the name of your business?
MB and associates public relations.
So what did you do before you were in public relations?
So I went to school for broadcast journalism, and I was very blessed and lucky to be able to land a job literally 2 days after graduating from Hofstra University, and spent 10 years kind of traveling the country, I should say. I worked for a nice amount of time in the Philadelphia market. I worked at Fox 29 as a segment producer and writer for Good Day Philadelphia back when they first launched, when Don Tollefson and Donya Archer were the anchors and Tracy Matisak was involved. But I also worked at CN8 when they were called TSM News. I was a morning anchor there with Greg Coy for about a year and a half, and worked at News 12 New Jersey as a reporter, covered 9/11. I worked in Louisiana, worked in Champaign, Illinois as an anchor.
Well, I know News 12 in Hofstra. I have family who lives in Long Island.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Now, are you from there?
I'm not. I'm from Medford, New Jersey. I grew up in Medford, just outside of Cherry Hill, and, you know, strategically selected schools that had strong journalism departments because I knew at an early age, which I talk about in my book, that I wanted to go into television news specifically, you know, applied in a certain geographical area. So I was far enough from mom and dad that they couldn't just knock on my dorm door, but also close enough that if I needed to come home or wanted to, I could do that on a whim.
We all think of news anchors as having this great job, but that was the career that you left.
I did. I loved it. It was amazing. It was not an easy decision. I almost compare making that life choice to deciding to end my marriage, because it wasn't something I just woke up overnight and said, I'm done with television news. I loved it. It was in my blood. It still is. And I still write, obviously, the book and still dabble in different publications. So I identify myself even today as a journalist. But it was a very hard life, at least for me. You know, for the majority, Kathy, of my career, I was a morning anchor, which I'm sure you can appreciate. You get up bright and early. For me, it was like 2 a.m. at the time to be at the station by 4. And, you know, it just took a toll on me. And I was looking to have more in my life than this, just this amazing career. I was living very far from home. And then my mom fell ill. She's fine now, thankfully. But at the time, she wasn't so great. And I was traveling home on the weekends to be with her. And it was just a lot. So I just decided I was going to give it a go, and decided to, you know, start sending out some resumes and PR. I knew back in school that that might be something I would do if I didn't get a job in television news. So I prepared. You know, I minored in it, and I had some time working in the president's office and the public relations department. So it wasn't a foreign field. And the way I do PR, it's very much media strategy. So I'm able to use my reporter skills on a day-to-day basis. But to answer your question, it was hard. I wanted more than my career. I was hoping that if I were able to get what I thought was more of a 9-to-5 type of situation, it would enable me to have a little bit more of a personal life, too.
So, and then did you get into PR and realize it's not 9-to-5?
I did. And then I took even another step and decided to open up my own company, which was even more. Yeah, but I love it. I think this is definitely my calling. I'm very much a people person. And while I went into TV news because I loved being in front of the camera, I loved being on stage, hence the name of my book, Intermission. I loved to write. And I sort of married all of those passions into one career. When I was actually doing it, I felt like the most reward was coming to when I would approach subjects of the story that were maybe, I don't want to say down and out, but perhaps they hit hard times, or maybe they lost a home in a fire and I was covering a fire or whatever it may be. When the camera lights went off and I was just one-on-one with these people, I took it the next step further to try to get them correct, like information, resources, and things like that. And that gave me my most fulfillment. So in PR, well, yes, I am helping grow people's businesses and things along that line. I'm also often finding myself in a position to be able to help people via my clients. I talk about this story in the book too. There was a woman earlier in my career, and these sort of circumstances come up a lot, but this was just a really profound one. So she went parachuting. She was out in the Midwest and her parachute did not deploy. She went, I guess, like skydiving or what have you. And she fell on her face. She broke every bone in her body. A long story short, she was in obviously every headline. She survived. She was in every headline. What really even made it even more compelling for as a news story was that she found out in the hospital when they were sort of putting her pieces back together, that she was pregnant. She didn't know. And the unborn child also lived. So she came out, thankfully, fine in the end of the day, but lost all of her teeth. I was at the time working with this world-renowned periodontist. So I approached him. I said, if I can get a hold of this woman, would you be willing to donate a new smile? So he was. I did my due diligence with my reporter hat, found her. We brought her in. They were on literally every national show, as well as all of the locals here in Philadelphia. So for me, it was amazing. He got great press. He did good. I was felt like I did a good deed, right? And she has this like amazing smile. And I still keep in touch with this woman.
So you kind of go about it in a different way.
Yes. In terms of PR.
Yeah.
So like PR can be so many different arms. There's a lot of arms is what I'm trying to say to PR. There's marketing. There's obviously event planning. We do a little bit of all of that. But because my background is journalism, I really use my knowledge, having been on that side of the fence, as I often say, to help, you know, get these clients like good media exposure, but also deliver some sort of real meat and potatoes, some sort of content that's going to be helpful to people who are watching it, listening or reading about them. So it's not just a big fluffy commercial at the end of the day.
Well, yeah, and it seems like you're doing a little bit of good, too. Instead of just blasting this company out, you're kind of making them do some good for themselves, too.
I'm trying my best, too. It makes you a better person, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so take me through, then, your life change and the point you got to where you said, okay, I have to change my life.
I was married 10 years. And I guess maybe around year six, I was sort of feeling that our marriage had plateaued. You know, you grow apart. My then husband is a great guy, still is. Like, we get along lovely. There's nothing that happened where we had these irreconcilable differences and we're fighting. In fact, we really didn't fight, which is more of the reason why I stayed as long as I had. But I just felt I wasn't getting the attention and like love that I craved. It wasn't because he didn't love me. It wasn't because he wasn't this amazing man. We were just we had different thresholds in terms of affection. So I felt a little bit lonely in that regard. And then, you know, I had this great career. I had two beautiful children and a very busy, packed schedule, as I'm sure you can relate to. So it sort of was able to sort of coast by. And then, you know, but every morning I would wake up and think that I was just sort of in a rut. So finally, I just decided that I was going to start taking some steps to better myself, and that I wasn't really going to be doing a good service to my children if I didn't show them that I was strong enough to make myself happy to be a better mother for them. Not that I was a bad mother, but I definitely have more spunk, and I find myself singing in the car now when I didn't in those years and things like that. I definitely have more pep in my step, not to be so cliche, but I think that makes me for a better mom because I'm able to then be happier with my kids. Long story short, because it was, as you will see in the book, it was a lot of different lessons that I went through and learned to get me to that point. I decided that I was going to take a leap of faith. And while I wasn't sure what life was going to look like if I crossed that line, it could get worse, but it could get better. If I stayed where I was, it wasn't going to get worse most likely, but it definitely wasn't getting better. So I thought I would take that leap. I leaned on my friends. I leaned on my faith. I leaned on my own fervor and belief in myself. And that's sort of like the lessons that I'm trying to instill upon my readers. If they, you know, are able to get the book and read it, I'm hoping to inspire people to get the strength to make the change and know you can do it and believe in yourself. And the end of the story, I fell in love with me. It wasn't another guy that was waiting on the other side. It wasn't, you know, I'm still looking for that. I want that. But I love myself so much more today than I did back then.
And people look at divorce as such a negative thing sometimes.
Yeah.
But in reality, if you are happier and your kids are seeing their mom happy, how could that not be better?
Absolutely. You know, so people, when I tell them, new people, if I meet them, then it comes up, you know, I guess what my status is in terms of being single or married. I say, well, I'm divorced, but it's okay. Everything's fine. And I think that also what kept me in that time of feeling paralyzed was also the fear that, what was going to be for my kids. But at the end of the day, I wanted them to see a happy mom, also a loving home with real love.
So did you get divorced and change your career at the same time?
No. Oh, that would be like crazy.
That's too much? All right.
No. I got divorced about 3 years ago and changed my career about 15 years ago. And then there were stories that I share within the book of lessons that I learned. I fought with infertility when I was trying to get pregnant. I leaned on my faith during that time. I actually wrote an article in South Jersey Magazine in the first person when I finished going through all of that, because I felt like when I was going through it, there was really no one to talk to. It was sort of a taboo subject matter that nobody really wanted to, you know, like, share their own stories. So I felt very alone. I mean, I had my parents, thankfully, and I have good friends to lean on, and obviously my then husband. But, you know, in terms of another woman who would say, hey, I went through it and I'm, you know, this was okay. I had a lot of adverse reactions to the treatments and things like that. So I very candidly share stories about that. And then I share just, you know, being a female business owner, some of the obstacles that I've had to encounter and rise above, some of the pitfalls that have happened in life, lessons from owning a business and making mistakes on my own, you know, and learning from those lessons and things like that. So it's sort of like a very, in my point of view, very open, very honest perspective of how to make change, how to believe in yourself. And, you know, sometimes it's just nice to listen to somebody else's story, because then you feel like, hey, if she could do it, then I could do it, right? So that's sort of what I'm hoping to do with this book.
And all of this in your book, Intermission by Mindy Barnett. Where can people find the book?
It's going to be in stores everywhere as of the 26th. So any bookstore, it's available on Amazon. And I'm going to be doing a bunch of book signings. But the next event that's taking place in the Philadelphia area is on Saturday, March 16th. At the Big Blue Marble Bookstore, and that's in Philadelphia. I also have a pretty big event on May 1st at the Mansion in Voorhees, which is going to benefit Susan G. Komen for the Cure Philadelphia affiliate. My mom is a breast cancer survivor. I'm very involved in the organization. And it's right before Mother's Day, so it was a perfect tie. And Pat Chiraki, the news icon, anchor, reporter, is going to be at the event with me as a special guest and doing a Q&A, talking with me about like the different parts of the book that are compelling. And for any other additional information, because I'll be doing events all over the area probably for the next year, you can go to my website, which is mindybarnett.com.
Okay, great. Now, if somebody wants to make a big change in their life, what's the best advice you can give them?
Well, the first thing I would say to do is to educate yourself. I would, whether it's a career switch, you want to start a business, and want to end a relationship, just, and there's children involved or you're married or whatever, and it's a little bit more complicated than just randomly breaking up with somebody, make sure you do your due diligence and arm yourself with knowledge. That would be my first tip. Then it's very simple. I mean, it's easier said than done, but just having the wherewithal and the strength to believe in yourself. I think half of the battle that many people face today and even in years past is that just self-doubt. We're our own worst enemies when it comes to things like that. And if you really vision your goal and meeting your goal and you believe that you can, you genuinely believe that you can, you will achieve it. There is no question in my mind. I never really ever thought I couldn't do half of the things that I've done. And I think that's that attitude and that spirit that I really want to pass on to my readers.
That's great advice. Mindy, thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you'd like to find out more about Mindy and her PR business, finding out where her next book signing is, or purchasing her book, Intermission, you can go to her website. It's mindybarnett.com. It's MindyBarnett.com. So thanks for joining me today. Before I go, though, I wanted to pass along some information to you. One of my upcoming guests has an event in Philadelphia this Friday, March 15th. Radio Disney host Alexa Curtis will be on the show later this month, but she's in town this Friday and speaking at the 2019 Be Fearless Summit. It's a conference geared towards young adults and millennials, and she's actually the founder of the conference. It'll be held at Drexel University's LeBeau College of Business from 9 to 5 on Friday. There will be panel discussions, workshops, and networking events throughout the entire day, as well as swag bags and a catered lunch, and tickets are free. Blogger, radio host, entrepreneur, and Be Fearless Summit founder Alexa Curtis shares her story of rejection, resilience, and overcoming obstacles to fearlessly build a multifaceted brand based on honesty and empowerment. She'll be speaking at 9:15 on Friday morning. It says 9:15 to 10 Friday morning. And again, it's held at the Drexel University's LeBeau College of Business, 3220 Market Street, 9 to 5 Friday, March 15th. And it's free to attend. Alexa will be on Her Story later this month. I'll give you more details when that's coming up. Thanks so much for joining me again today. I'm Kathy Romano. Enjoy the end of your weekend.
This has been Her Story with Kathy Romano. Her Story is produced by WBEN-FM in Philadelphia and airs weekly or on demand on your mobile device. Listen or subscribe at 957benfm.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.